As Peter begins his second letter, he tells us a little about himself, which we know, but as a reminder to his audience, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he uses the word love slave, a love servant, a doulos. And the reason that he uses that term is because he was not a forced servant, but he was a servant by choice. Perhaps you recall in the New Testament era that there was slavery, and people were often committed to a master. Maybe they went broke and they had no other choice than to try to work off their debt. Or for some other reason, they came under the ownership and supervision of a master. But every once in a while, that would work so well that the servant would find such comfort and security and blessing in the home of the master that when his time was finished for his committed servanthood, he would go to the master and say, I have so much enjoyed being here, and I love you as a master. I would love to continue to serve you from my heart, and I am willing to become committed to you as a servant for the rest of my life. And the master would receive that commitment, and like we pierce ears, the master would take the lobe of the servant's ear and drive an awl through it that would become a symbol of the fact that that was a love slave. He was no longer obligated, but he had chosen to remain with the master. And Peter is telling us something about himself. He says, I have come to love the Lord Jesus Christ to such an extent. I have committed my life to him. I am his love slave. I am bound to him all the rest of my life and eternally because he has been such a wonderful master to me. And so he says, I'm a love slave and also an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's writing to those who have obtained a faith of like nature or equal standing with ours. You know, as I began my studies of Peter, I was under the impression that Peter was primarily writing to Jewish believers. But as I have continued to study more, I've realized that he was writing largely to Gentile believers that were suffering because of their relationship with Christ. And he's writing this letter to Gentiles who have come into the faith. And this harkens back to his experience with Cornelius. Do you recall that? Where Peter was staying with Simon the tanner near the shore, and he decided about the sixth hour to go up onto the roof and to spend some time in prayer. And as he went up there and began to pray, the scripture says he fell into a trance. And in that trance, he saw a sheet being let down out of heaven. And as it was let down to the earth by the corners and kind of laid flat, it was filled with all kinds of creeping things and animals and everything that Peter had been taught was anathema. You don't eat those things. They're unclean. And he heard a voice saying, Peter, arise, kill, and eat. And Peter was horrified. He said, I've never eaten anything unclean in my life. I'm not going to start now. And the sheet was taken back up, and then it came again. And he heard that voice, rise and eat. And it was like, no, I'm not going to eat that. I remember one well-known preacher speaking when I was in college at the chapel service, and he made quite the issue of Peter saying, no, Lord. And he said, no one who ever says Lord can say no. And no one who ever says no can say Lord. Peter said, no, Lord, I cannot do this. And the sheep went up and came back a third time. And this time, Peter was commanded to kill and eat of the animals that were on the sheet, and he was so perplexed, it confused him. And then the Lord said to him, there are some men that are at the door, and they're going to invite you to go with them, and you are to go, and you are to share with them the message that you have received. And about that time, he was informed that there were men at the door looking for him. And they explained their purpose and that they had been sent by one Cornelius and that he was to follow them. And he knew that God was directing him to the home of a Gentile. And so Peter, they spent the night, and then the next morning they started out and they went back and went to Cornelius' household. And Cornelius was so excited to see him, he fell down to worship him. And Peter said, Cornelius, get up. I'm a man just like you are. And he said, why have you summoned me? And Cornelius said, I was praying, and I felt the Lord saying to me, go and send for Simon, also known as Peter, who is staying with the home of Simon the Tanner. Isn't this amazing that Peter gets this direct message and then Cornelius gets this very direct message, tells him exactly where to go. And so he goes and sends for Peter. Peter comes back and he says, I want to hear the message that you have because God has told me that you have the message I need. And so Peter began to share the gospel, and he talked about the good news of Jesus Christ. And Cornelius was overwhelmed, and the scripture says he had invited all of his family and his close friends, and they all filled the house. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came down upon them like a rushing wind, the same as he had upon the apostles and disciples in the upper room in the second chapter of Acts. And as the Holy Spirit filled the room, it was obvious that God had shown his favor to the Gentiles. And Peter stayed there in the home of Cornelius for several days, ate what was put before him, fellowshipped with these Gentiles. It was anathema for a Jew even to enter the house of a Gentile. But Peter had been soundly transformed in his heart. And so as he shared this time with Cornelius, after a bit, they started on their way back to Jerusalem. And you might know that when he got back to Jerusalem, some of the believers in Jerusalem who were what we probably would have called a little later Judaizers, but they were those who insisted that it was Jesus plus the law, or the law along with Jesus. And so they really gave Peter a difficult time at the beginning. They said, what is it we have heard? That you've gone to the house of a Gentile, and you've eaten their food, and you've talked to them, and you shared the gospel with them. what's wrong with you, Peter? And Peter said, the Holy Spirit came upon them as he did upon us, and they received a like faith as ours. We share the same faith. God has made no distinction. There is no difference. And as a consequence of that, they actually were converted in their heart. And they said, well, then surely God is in this thing, and he has opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. He has opened the way. And even though Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter is the one who first opened that door and first went to the Gentile home and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to follow up on that, that's in Acts chapter 10. If you'd like to read the background to that and catch it as it is in Scripture, I've pretty well filled you in on it. But the Gentiles had received a like faith as the Jews. And so Peter says, to those of you who have obtained a faith like ours, those of you that have one of the same sort, of the same standing, according to the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not sure what your translation says. It depends on which one you're using. But when it says faith in, with, or by, or according to the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that word in, or by, or with is a Greek word. It's a preposition, two letters, epsilon nu, or en. And it's very difficult sometimes to translate from one language to another with all the nuance that is included. A Greek reader of the first century would have automatically known all the depth that that preposition has. But for us, we have to figure out, do we use in, do we use with, do we use by, do we use according to? How do we explain this little preposition? And I think the best translation in English is in the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's faith in the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's a compound title there. Anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ does so in ignorance of the Scripture. Either they do not know what the New Testament teaches, and the Old Testament too for that matter, or they have decided they do not believe the Scriptures. Because as you study the Scriptures, it is abundantly clear all over the place that Jesus Christ is equal to God the Father. And here Peter says, we have a like kind of faith in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? We have a faith in righteousness of our Savior and our God, Jesus Christ. You know, if you say someone makes a promise to you, and you know their character, and you know that they're trustworthy. My dad was like that. He was known as a man of his word. He signed contracts, surely, in his business life, but he didn't need to, because if he said he was going to do something, he did it. And if he said no, he wasn't going to do it. My dad was known as a man of his word. And you could count on that. That's the way he was raised. That was his background. And he invested that teaching in my brother and me. When a person whom you trust gives you their word, is it their word that you're trusting, or is it the person? I venture to say it's the person. It's not the words. People can say words, and they may or may not have any value. You remember Jesus when the man was let down through the roof onto the floor in this crowded home, and people were looking in the windows and gathered at the doorway. There was no way they could get their friend close to Jesus, so they dug apart the roofing and they let him down, and he looked at him and he said, "My son, your sins are forgiven you." And the Pharisees went, "Who does this man think he is that he can forgive sin? No one can forgive sin but God, God alone. How dare he make such a statement?" And Jesus, knowing what was in their heart, said, "I know what you're thinking. And so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin." And he turned back to this crippled, bedridden man at his feet, and he said, "I say to you, rise up, take up your bed, and walk." Or is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, "Get up and walk"? Well, it's very easy to say your sins are forgiven, because you can't see that. You can't prove it. You don't know if it's true or not. But if you see someone who is paralyzed, lying on a bed, helpless on the floor, and you say, "Get up, take up your bed and walk," and they get up and walk, there is no denying the reality of the authority of that person. When Peter says, "You have come to a faith like ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ," he is saying to them that you have come to trust a person, not a doctrine, not a statement, not a word, but a person. You have put your faith in our God and Savior Jesus Christ, and he gives you righteousness. He gives you his righteousness. The scripture says that God has given us the righteousness of Christ himself. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean in practice? It means that as we trust the authority, as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and put our hope and our confidence in him, that we are given his righteousness, and we have a right standing before the Father. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 5, that we have come to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, not the emotional kind of peace that settles over in the midst of trouble, but the peace that is the treaty that is signed when the war has ended and the ceasefire has been enacted, and now there is peace. There is peace with God. He is no longer our adversary. We are no longer fighting against him, because once we were children of darkness, but now we have become the children of light. Ephesians chapter 2. And as a consequence of that, we have a truce with God. We have peace. Jesus Christ is the satisfactory appeasement, the propitiation of the wrath of God against us. And this is going to become important as we go through this, because it is so difficult for us to know how much God loves us and how much He wants to bless us. He's not angry with us anymore. We have peace with Him. And even when we sin, even when we fail, and we go to Him, He receives us as a loving Father, wanting to help us to be overcomers. He wants to invest in us that we might learn the ways of righteousness. He's not judging us any longer. We do not suffer His wrath. He wants to help. He wants to benefit. He wants to bless. And He wants to bring us to a place where we have confidence and trust and hope in Him. And so Peter says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and here it is, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. May grace and peace. Some have defined grace as God's unmerited favor. Others have defined grace as the power that God gives to do His will, to do His purposes. In any case, Peter says, I want you to be full of the grace of God. I want you to know how much God really loves you. I want you to know how much He's on your side. I want you to know how much He cares about you. Peter said in the first letter, casting all of your cares, all of your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Are you concerned today about this crazy pandemic business? Does it worry you? Are you living in fear? God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Lay it at my feet. Cast your care upon me. I care about you. I love you. I will bless you. Put your trust and your confidence in me. It's not in what He does, it's in who He is. He is Jehovah, our doctor. And peace, He will give us that peace. And here, it is the emotional variety. Do you have anxiety? Do you have difficulty? Do you have trouble? Do you have turmoil? God will give you peace. He wants you to live your life in tranquil stability and confidence that He is standing with you in all things. And may it be multiplied, not added, but multiplied. You know, if you add two and two and then two more and then two more, I always get in trouble when I do math publicly. It always backfires, but I'm going to try. you know, if you go 2 plus 2 is 4, plus 2 is 6, plus 2 is 8, plus 2 is 10, well, it takes a very long time to amount to any sum if we're talking pennies. But if you go 2 times 2 is 4, times 2 is 8, times 2 is 16, times 2 is 32, times 2 is 64, times 2 is 128, times 2 is 256, times 2 is 512, all of a sudden you're starting to mount up a big mass of pennies. Did I get it right? I thought it did. All you got to do is remember your computer. That's how you buy those little funny things you plug into your USB ports. What are those called? Flash drives. Peter says, I want it to be multiplied. I want the peace and the grace to be multiplied in your lives. I want you to be rapidly filled up with it in the rich knowledge. Remember what we said about epinosis as opposed to gnosis? Epinosis has that preposition in front of it, meaning an intensification of knowledge. It's not just merely knowledge, it's not just merely experience, but it's rich experience, long-standing understanding, a real comprehension of all that God wants us to have be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, not of the doctrines, not of the dogma, but of the person. I want you to know Him. I want you to be filled with the fullness of the knowledge of Him and of Jesus, who is our Lord. And once again, His deity is underscored. In the same breath, Peter says, I want you to have the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. How could you possibly say Jesus is Lord in the same sentence with God unless He is God? If He were not God, who is our Lord, and Jesus His Son. But it doesn't say that. It says, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, our Master, the Supreme One who guides our lives. I want you to know Him. I want you to have a rich understanding of who God is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pick up there next week. And I trust that you will contemplate this week all that God has for you, all that He wants to give you, every way that He desires to bless you. He's not your enemy. Jesus has borne our punishment. He has received our judgment. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. In Jesus Christ, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would open Your word and speak to our hearts, that we would come to know You as You truly are, that we would be those devoted love slaves who give ourselves without reservation to a good Master. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen.